from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Danny, how often will we see Ohio State, Michigan play back-to-back? Are we giving the short shrift to Oregon, to USC?
I'm not super confident USC is going to be all that great in this conference. I actually think that that's a program probably going to take a step back. I think you're shorting Oregon a little bit by saying that these two teams are going to play back-to-back every year, because Oregon's an awesome program, and they deserve a lot of credit for what they've built and who they are right now. So I do think that these two teams will probably play back-to-back maybe 3 times every 10 years.
Okay. 3 times every 10 years.
How frequently do you think it's going to happen?
It ain't happening this year.
I think Michigan's going to lose 4 or 5 games this year. I don't think that their team's...
4 or 5?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
And that might not include Ohio State.
What some of the superior... And it might not be Ohio State. Can you imagine if Michigan dropped like 4 or 5 games and then beat Ohio State? That would have a Cooper feel to it. Let's go to Anthony in Cleveland. Next up on the Fan. How are you, Ann?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Yeah, so I just look at it like, you know, the Browns play the Steelers twice a year, and then sometimes we get to play them in the playoffs. And it definitely doesn't deaden the rivalry in any little bit. So I think playing Michigan twice, maybe 3 times. I mean, just think about it. You play, say Ohio State beats Michigan in the final game of the season. Michigan beats Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. And then you end up playing Michigan a 3rd time somehow in the national championship game. I mean, I want to kick Michigan's ass right now. I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's do it. 3 times a year. Let's do it.
So does it in any way, marginalize the rivalry?
Not at all. Like I said, I think it might even heighten it, because you play them 3 times, and these are clearly going to be the 2 best teams in the conference, like they have been for years now. So, that's just what it is. It's going to be Ohio State, Michigan fighting it out to, you know, represent the Big Ten. And, you know, if you play them 3 times, then that's what it is.
All right, thank you, Anthony Cleveland. I appreciate it.
I think it's so different when you talk about – I think it's so different from the NFL and college. I really do. Because when you play football at Ohio State, everything you do is to beat Michigan. Everything you do inside that building is to beat Michigan. That's what those kids dream of every day. They go to sleep. Every day they wake up, it's the first thing they think about at Ohio State. And maybe that – starts to lessen a little bit as we enter this NIL era. But in the NFL, you don't think about who you're facing for the most part. Rivalries in the NFL are built in the playoffs. And I know that the Browns and Steelers do have some playoff history, but I think that they're built in the playoffs. And like, I do think for that to matter as much, both teams have to consider the opponent their biggest rival. Do the Steelers consider the Browns their biggest rival, or do the Steelers consider the Ravens to be their biggest rival? I would venture to guess it's the Ravens, considering what the recent history's been.
Maybe it depends if you're a Steeler fan where you live, too. Like, if you're here...
No, but I'm talking about the actual team.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, the actual team.
The other part of that...
I always wonder about that.
Guys in the NFL don't really care.
It's probably different amongst players. Like, I'm sure Miles Garrett, for him,
yeah,
it's Steelers. Martin Emerson, it's probably the Bengals.
Yeah, that's a great point. And for years, we would talk...
Greg Newsom, I know it's the Bengals.
I remember we would talk about this rivalry on the station, and I'm just like, man, the Browns, they do the right thing and say the right thing every Steelers week, because the coach is like, hey, guys, like Pat Shurmur, guys, it's Steelers week. This is a big week. And then they'd go on in front of the cameras at a press conference and say, yeah, we know, dog pound, dog pound, dog pound, big rivalry game. Okay, can you name any times in the history of this? No. Some guy named Turkey. Like, they didn't know. I do think that this team, I think the Myles Garrett situation, beating them in a playoff game, I remember when that happened, I'm like, this is how the rivalry gets back to where it needs to be. But you're right. Feels like Cincinnati. These guys love playing Cincinnati right now.
Well, it's because they beat Cincinnati all the time. They've had the Bengals number for how long? I mean, how many wins does Joe Burrow have against the Browns?
I think one.
Yeah. And he's considered
Jamar
to be
Chase
one of the
goes on podcasts all the time and calls him out.
He really does. So, look, Ohio State, Michigan, I get what the caller's saying. I get what Doug's saying. It just won't feel the same. It won't be weird.
It'll change. And I get that having the game at the Big House or at the Horseshoe, it adds meaning to it. But that game's going to lessen a little bit when you know you're playing at Lucas Oil Stadium the next week. It just is.
You mean new Cleveland Browns Dome Stadium.
I would love for the Big Ten Championship game to be here. That'd be amazing. I'd be stunned if it ever happens, but it'd be amazing.
They were saying, by the way, Albert Breer yesterday was talking about when the 18-game schedule could get cemented. And he did say 2029, which is when we're hoping, if there is a new Browns stadium, at least the Browns are hoping, that would be the case. So I heard this yesterday on 92.3 The Fan. And it's always interesting when you play the what-if game, which is, I think, one of the great pastimes in sports talk radio. The big what-if. I mean, we were hearing, like the other day, what if Carmelo Anthony would have been drafted by Detroit instead of, who was it? Darko Milicic.
What a pick.
And that ended up going in so many different directions. Like, would Detroit have been the team to beat for the longest period of time? Remember, they were coming off a championship anyway, and then you had Carmelo, and what would have done to Carmelo's career? There's a bunch of sliding doors moments, right, in sports. This is one of them. But did I hear correctly a what-if with Greg Williams on our very radio station, former defensive coordinator and former interim head coach of the Cleveland Browns? Here's what he had to say.
I said this when I was here. I believe I could have won a championship with Baker quarterback.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
I believe that with all my heart, and I'm proud of what he's been able to continue to do. Todd Bowles is a very good friend of mine, and there's a reason why Todd went ahead and signed Baker and why he brought him down there the first time, because we had a chat and we talked about different kind of things. There's a lot of things out there that about Baker that's not really true. Unless you're inside the locker room or inside the meetings, and why do his fellow players love him so much?
Wait a second. And that was on Baskin and Phelps yesterday at, were they at the IX Center?
Yes, they were at the big card show.
Okay. So Greg Williams is now taking credit. He's no longer in the game, he's still taking credit for things that are going on in the NFL.
He's in the XFL.
I love this. I love Greg because he is.
It's a great bit.
It's amazing. It's amazing. This guy should be doing much more when it comes to media. Because he tells a fantastical tale, and he does it really well. And, you know, if you don't know his track record,
he's been offered a lot of head coaching jobs.
How many coaching slips?
Right.
There's a difference.
13, I believe, slips.
Did we ever figure out the difference between an offer and a slip? I don't know if we did.
You should ask him.
I'm thinking of boating. I don't think about coaching offers.
Boating.
But, Danny, I mean, we're going to forever, especially if Deshaun Watson doesn't pan out. and the next 2 years go the same way that it has gone, you know, recently.
With Deshaun?
With Deshaun. And if Baker goes to the playoffs again, if Baker wins another playoff game, man, you know, it's never going to be a week that goes by where his name is not mentioned, and what a mistake it was to move on from Baker Mayfield.
But it wasn't a mistake. Like, you can make the case that it was a mistake to go after Deshaun Watson, but I don't think it was a mistake to move on from Baker Mayfield. Look at how the end of his tenure was in Cleveland. And he's spoken recently about, you know, how he probably should have gotten shoulder surgery that year, and he didn't. If he gets that surgery, he might still be in Cleveland, and that relationship might be okay. But I think that the relationship between him and the organization was pretty fractured by the time that season ended, just about as fractured as Deshaun Watson's shoulder was this past year. But I think moving on from Baker and going after Watson were two different things. Mm-hmm. If Deshaun Watson wasn't available, I still think they should have moved on from Baker.
Hold on, Danny.
The other thing that we always forget, we act like Baker went right from the Browns to Tampa and immediately had success. He was cut by another team, and then it didn't work out in Los Angeles. So he's on his third team.
I don't remember that year. Where was he? Oh, yeah, we played him in the first game, and he couldn't.
And he was cut by that team.
A lot of people wore Panthers jerseys.
He couldn't get a first down, and he had Christian McCaffrey with him. Okay, without a doubt, I was with you every step of the way when it was going on. I said all the things you just said. I'm like, there's a ceiling on Baker Mayfield. The locker room stuff, which I think now it's fair to say, might have been two versions of that locker room.
Yeah.
There might have been two factions, which is part of the problem. You can't have that with a quarterback.
No, you cannot win that way.
Baker has admitted he's matured a little bit. Maybe he could have done some things smarter. Like, there is some onus absolutely on Baker. But, man, as much as I wanted Deshaun Watson and was screaming every day on the radio about wanting Deshaun Watson, even after they had won the playoff game against Pittsburgh, I'm like, oh, there could be rumblings. Deshaun Watson could be available. People are like, what? We're coming off the playoffs and you want that? And this is before we knew all the baggage.
Off the field stuff, yeah.
Right now, aren't we in kind of the category that it was a mistake?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it can't change.
No, I agree. I agree. We are in that category. Not moving on from Baker Mayfield, though. I think that those are two separate decisions that needed to be
Watson
made.
So the Watson thing right now, today on paper, is a mistake, but not Baker.
Correct.
What can Baker do to make it officially this is a mistake? Like, what if he goes to the Super Bowl next
Nothing,
year?
Nothing, because that was not going to happen in Cleveland. He needed a change of scenery. I think that's clear. Because if he would have gone out and had this success with Carolina, okay, I'm with you there. But he needed to be traded, have a wake-up call there, then get cut because he wasn't good enough at another place, have a wake-up call there. You saw him have a single good game with the Rams, and then finally he makes it back to the playoffs last year because he's in the worst division in football. That team wasn't good. They went 9-8 against a bunch of garbage teams, and they made the playoffs because of that.
That is true.
So what would if Baker plays the same on the Browns last year, the Browns aren't a playoff team because of the division they play in. But because he played in the NFC South, they're a playoff team. So I think
he was great in that playoff game against Philly,
you
though.
You don't think Baker would have been better than P.J. Walker or Thompson Robinson?
I think he probably played at a relatively similar level, but he played against all year.
And he is now, as much as I can't believe I'm about to say this, he's had 2 years where statistically, depending on the metrics, he's been a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. We moved on from him, and we don't know where we're at quarterback right now.
He had an awesome 8-game stretch for the Browns. That's what it was. He had an awesome 8-game stretch for the Browns and this past year. And I like Baker. I wanted Baker to work out in Cleveland so badly. I did. But he had a really good 8-game stretch. And for the most part, other than that, he wasn't very good in a Browns uniform. And then this past year, he was a solid quarterback that played against a bunch of really bad teams for most of the season. And that's where a lot of that success comes to. When you get to the playoffs, that Philadelphia team was dead in the water.
He won, and he did light them up.
But it didn't matter who they were going to play. They were going to lose to anybody that was in the playoffs in that game. And you know that as well as I do.
I've been accused of being stubborn before on these things. I got to say, Baker's the one guy that I've had to eat some words on. Other words I've doubled and tripled down on. And one of them was about the ceiling. But all I'm saying is, Danny, like, I do not think he's good enough to go to a Super Bowl.
I agree.
But if he did, and if Deshaun does what Deshaun's been doing, or he can't stay healthy, I mean, it's going to be a forever thing at that point.
I mean, it will be. And a lot of this is on Deshaun to have it work out. But like I said, I think it was two separate decisions. And I think one of them in Deshaun looks like a mistake. The Baker one I'm fine with still.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.